So on this Easter Sunday, we're going to read from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabuni," which means teacher. The last thing Mary expected on that Sunday morning as she approached the tomb was a party. I mean, for the last few days, there had not been much to celebrate. The Jewish leaders celebrated because they got rid of Jesus. And the soldiers celebrated because their job was done and they had a few days off. And of course, Pilate celebrated because crisis averted. But Mary? There was nothing for her to celebrate. I mean, she was there in these last few days every step of the way. She was there when the leaders were crying for Jesus' blood. She was there when that whip pierced his skin. She was there when those thorns were pressed into his head. She was there when they nailed him to a cross. She was there when they took that dead body, placed it in a grave and a tomb, and closed that tomb, and it was all done. So it's no surprise that she shows up again, right? At the tomb, that is. Because this was that final moment where it was all done and over. So imagine her shock when she gets to the tomb and the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty. No wonder she runs to Peter and John and says, "Come look what they've done." And Peter and John get there. They run in. Peter comes out bewildered. John comes out believing. And Mary is left alone grieving. I don't know why she looked back into the tomb, but she does. And this time the tomb isn't empty. There's two angels. Interesting, she's not afraid of them, right? Told you before, angels are amazing. They're God's messengers. They're not scary. She looks into the tomb and there's two angels. One sitting at the head, one sitting at the feet where Jesus would have been lying. "Woman," they say. Note that word, we'll get back to it. "Woman, why are you crying?" Seems like a strange question to ask someone in a cemetery, right? Might even feel a little rude. But maybe not. If you knew something that the person who was crying didn't know. "Why are you crying?" Notice Mary's answer. "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where he is." Did you notice those amazing words? my Lord. Even though for Mary he's dead, he's still my Lord. As far as she knows, his lips are sealed. As far as she is concerned, his body was taken by grave robbers. As far as she knows, this was the end of the end, and there's nothing left of that. But still, despite all of that, Mary still calls Jesus my Lord. Not the pain, not the loss, not the grief, not anything can move her faith. He's still my Lord. My Lord, when things are amazing, my Lord, when things are going my way, my Lord, when I'm flying and running, but also my Lord, when the rug is taken from under my feet, my Lord, when I'm free falling, my Lord, when it seems that the grave is empty and there's nothing left and it's the end of everything. My Lord. That's the Lord of Easter. I don't know what it was that moved Jesus. It might have been Mary's devotion and this fullness in her heart. But Jesus moves closer, so close that she feels his breath, and she turns around and she sees him thinking he is the gardener. And in that moment, Jesus could have revealed himself, and like when he was announced when he was coming, there could have been a host of heavenly angels singing and blowing trumpets and a whole choir doing all of this, announcing this is Jesus, but he doesn't. He doesn't reveal himself. All he does is he asks a question, and listen to it again. Woman, why are you crying? Second time, exact same question. Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? They've taken my Lord away. And if it's you, can you help me to get him, please? See, here's the thing. God is a God of surprises. And often God will wait for us to let go of our own strength, of thinking that I can do it on my own, of thinking that I have it all in my hands and I can do it and I will take care of it and it's in my power to do that. God will wait for that. And in that moment when I've given it all over and I'm saying, what have you done? I don't have anything. I don't know. In that moment, God shows up and surprises us to no end. For in that moment when Mary says, he's gone. Did you take him? He says one word. And the translation has it wrong. He doesn't say Mary. He actually says Miriam. Miriam. Surprise, Miriam. Surprise, Miriam. It's me. Here I am, Miriam. When last have you allowed Jesus to surprise you? Miriam, surprise. See, here's the problem with the world and often with us even, is that we think we have God all figured out. Have him there in a box. Know exactly what God is going to do. Know exactly how God is going to react. I mean, we've broken the code. We've put it all in our computer and put all the data in there. We hit the enter button and boom, there we've got it. There's God. Like going to my little jukebox and selecting my title and putting in my quarter and then hitting play. And there plays the heavenly music. We've got him all figured out. But here's the thing. God is a God of surprises. Just when we think we have God all figured out, he shows up in the most unexpected places. And he throws a party in the cemetery. Miriam, surprise. Can I ask you something? Are you going through tough times? Does it feel like you're standing in front of that grave expecting it there to be there and it's empty? I'm looking for my Lord and I don't know where He is. Can I invite you to go read this story again? Just read the story and see God for who He is, the God of surprises. Because here's the thing. It's not just in the story where we see that. Just hear those rocks falling on the ground for that adulterous woman. And they all walk away. Surprise. Just hear the words of Jesus to a death row convict. Today, you'll be with me in my kingdom. Surprise. Hear the Messiah speak to a Samaritan woman whose life is all one big mess. And He looks at her and says, I am He. Just hear the laughter at Jairus' table when his little girl is sitting there at the dinner table eating and laughing with them after she was dead. Just hear Mary's wonderful surprise in a reaction when Jesus stands and says, Miriam, and she says, Rabboni. For see, that's who God is. God shows up in the most unexpected places, doing the most unexpected, amazing things. In eyes that are filled with tears, He brings a sparkle. And that huge frown, He can change into a smile. And we sing it in a song. He turns graves into gardens, mourning to dancing. He puts a bright star in the darkest, darkest night. He puts a rainbow against the black thunder clouds rolling in. He changes a mourning party in a cemetery into a huge party on Easter Sunday. And Mary's reaction is the perfect reaction. When God surprises, Mary worships. Rabboni, Rabboni, it's You, Jesus. Here's the thing, my friends. What a moment for Mary on that Easter, first Easter Sunday, when she sees Jesus and falls at His feet and worships Rabboni, my Lord. Here's the thing. There is a day, and it is coming, when the trumpets shall sound, and on the clouds the Lord will come. And on that day, not just one grave will be open, but all the graves will be open. And on that day, not just one will stand there and see Him, Rabboni. We will all stand and we will see. And the Word says, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the God of all surprises. Oh, my friends, what a party that day is going to be. And let me tell you something. I'm going to make sure that my name is on that list because I want to be part of that party. And today is Easter. And if you look closely, you'll see He's throwing a huge party. And all I can say is, Rabboni, my Lord. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, thank You for sending Your Son. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming into this world, going into that grave and walking out of that grave alive, so that we may be alive, surprising us, Lord Jesus, throwing a party in a cemetery. Help us to get out of our cemeteries. Help us, Lord, to be part of your party in this world. Thank you that we may celebrate Jesus. Celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, name above all name, Jesus, Son of God. We adore you and we worship you. Jesus, our Lord. Amen.